This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Bringing one of our favorites. Terrific. Does a great job covering the NFL and the Eagles as well. And that is Sal Palantonio. Sal, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in, doing as well as anybody is during this absolutely crazy, crazy time. So, huge game. I mean, it's amazing with the records, 1-4-1, 1-5, but this is a big game for the NFC East tonight. The one injury for the Eagles, and they're all banged up, but the one that I look at, which may be the most beneficial to the Giants, because every time the Giants play the Eagles, Sal, Zach Ertz is so difficult to deal with, and it's like 9 catches for 112 yards and 2 touchdowns. How big of a loss is that? Overall, I'm sure it's huge, but specifically against the Giants, where he seems to torch this football team.
He does, but he hasn't been much of a factor this year. So I don't think the loss of Zach Ertz is going to amount to much in this football game. I think specifically, the Eagles have to do a much better job of forcing the ball down the field and opening up defenses, which Zach Ertz has not been doing, has never really done, certainly hasn't done this year. I don't think it's a big factor in this game. I don't. I think the Lane Johnson, the starting right tackle, who's been in and out of the starting lineup with a bad ankle, had ankle surgery about 3 weeks into training camp. He's the key guy to me. They are a different team when Lane Johnson lines up. They want to run to the right side. If he is able to play, and able to play for the entire game at a normally high level, at a Pro Bowl level, then I think he's a major difference maker for the Eagles.
Sal, I know a lot of the blame for, you know, Philly's start falls on the shoulders of Carson Wentz, contract and everything else. But, I mean, when you look at the offensive line and the amount of injuries at the skill positions and everything else, I mean, is it a little unfair to be this critical or as critical as people have been over Carson Wentz?
No, I don't think it's unfair. Carson Wentz signed a big contract, and he's made a lot of big mistakes. They've obviously had major injuries on the offensive line. Last week, you know, at one point, their rookie right tackle, Jack Driscoll, who replaced Lane Johnson, he went out, and they brought in a nice young man named Brett Toff from West Point Military Academy, part-time ROTC instructor from Arizona State. Nice looking young man. I'm sure he's a lot of things, but he's not a starting right tackle in the National Football League. And next to him was Jamon Brown, and he made Calais Campbell into the AFC Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week. Jamon Brown's been cut, and Brett Toft is, you know, hopefully going back to the bench. Again, nothing against him, but, you know, he's the kind of guy who starts the fourth preseason game when no starters play. Again, no knock on him, but the bottom line is they have been decimated on the offensive line. But that doesn't excuse Carson Wentz. You know, I'm on the NFL matchup show. I have been for a long time, and I study a lot of quarterback play. And so does Greg Cosell, my co-host of the show. He does a tremendous job. I know you guys know him very well. And Carson's just been missing open opportunities, including to the aforementioned Zach Ertz, who's been open a lot. 32 targets going into last week's game. Only 21 of those targets were really catchable balls, according to Pro Football Focus. That's not good. Mm-mm.
Sal, I just wanted to point out I'm a big fan of the work that you, Cosell, and Matt Bowen do on the Matchup Show. It is the show that the pros watch. One of the things that I was interested in with this Eagles offense is them integrating Jalen Hurts more and more in certain packages. We saw it in Pittsburgh, saw it a little bit last week against the Ravens. Do you expect to see more of that as the season goes on, and do you expect to see that tonight?
Gotta happen. Better happen. No question about it. For no other reason than we just went through it, right, Chris? I mean, they have basically no offensive line. The guy's getting pulverized. He's getting brutalized back there. Why? It's a poor design. You put him back there, he's not a moving target. He's a stationary target. At least give the defenses a different look, starting with number two. And when he goes in there, he energizes the offense. He can be a decoy. He can line up behind center. if you want to split Carson out wide, if you want to have him totally in the Taysom Hill role where you don't take the quarterback off the field, I get it. You have a lot invested in Carson Wentz. You're not ready to make the change. But listen, you've got to have him on the football field for no other reason than to confuse the defense, because right now what you're running is static.
Sal Powell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Sal, you talked about the amount of quarterback tape and film that you watch, and we're kind of confused at Daniel Jones because we watch him and there's times where you say, boy, he looks good and he's athletic and he's got a chemistry with Darius Slayton. There's other times you watch him and you're like, I can't believe that he plays football like this. What's your take? I mean, you're a guy that, as you just said, you watch a ton of quarterback film. What's your take on this young quarterback?
Well, I think he hasn't had a lot of open opportunities to throw the football. I think he does a great job of going through his progressions, but guys are not open. So that's a major problem. He's also been under duress. And the biggest issue is I hate to use this term, but ball security. This is the reason why the NFC East is so putrid this year. Go through it. The Eagles have 12 turnovers minus 7. They're 31st in the league. The Giants they're minus 2. They're second, tied with Washington, also minus 2. And Dallas, of course, is last in the league at minus 12. And you look at it, Wentz has 9 picks. Jones has 6. Washington's already changed quarterbacks twice. Dallas lost their quarterback. It comes down to quarterback play. If the quarterback is thrown to the other team, if the quarterback is not taking care of the ball in the pocket, you can't win in the NFL. You know, the founding fathers of the NFL, Amos Alonzo Stagg, Walter Camp, when they came up with the idea of football in America in the late 19th century, the whole idea was we are going to keep the ball and the other team is going to try to violently take it away from you. That's the essence of the game. That's it. It always has been for 120 years, going back to when Rutgers played Princeton. So if you violently take it away from the other team, you're going to win a lot more than you're going to lose. And that's the problem with the NFC East. That's why the winning percentage in the NFC East is 229, why it's the second worst since the merger of any division going into week 7, and it's why it's totally wide open, and it's why this game tonight is crucial for both these teams. I mean, you know, there are a lot of jokes about this division, but I can tell you, in talking to players and coaches on both these teams, they are taking this game dead serious tonight.
Sal Palantonio joins us here on the show. Sal, what you just described sounds like marriage. You have the balls, and then your wife violently tries to take them away from you. Sal, do me a favor, please, because Dave doesn't know how to feel about tonight.
I can't believe you just said that, and I actually chuckled.
So Dave doesn't know how to feel, because the Giants are 1-5.
I've been married
for
42 years, okay? I'm trying to stay married, all right?
Yeah. No. We have a thing here, Sal. When he does that, you giggle and you just move on as quickly as you can. So you played it beautifully. Beautifully.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, so in saying all that you said, right, the turnovers and everything else, when you look at the NFC East and how bad it is, do Dave's Giants have a legitimate chance to win this division? He needs to know.
Well, you know, if they don't win tonight, I don't think they do. No. I think this is an absolute must-win game for the Giants. Listen, Jason Garrett, when he was with the Cowboys, understood how difficult it is to win here. Ben McAdoo never won here. Pat Shurmur never won here. You got to go all the way back to Coughlin and Eli 6 years ago from the last time the Giants won at Lincoln Financial Field. I mean, that's a long time ago. Galaxy far, far away. Completely different team in every possible respect. And if there's anybody who's going to do it and understands what it takes to win here, it's Joe Judge. He's from here. He gets the psychology of it. Hopefully, when the doors are closed, when they were closed last night in the team hotel, the team arrived last night about 6:45 here at Philly, and when the doors are closed in the locker room at the Link, the visitors' locker room, he will talk to them. A lot of these players have not come here and won. And he will say, listen, I understand. I was in the stands. I understand the psychology of going here and playing here and how tough it is. This is what we've got to do. Create a sense of...
Uh-oh. We might have lost Sal.
Oh, Sal, here we go.
You back with us, Sal?
I'm back with you. You know, the thing about the Joe Judge team that I see on film is they play with a lot of energy. This team is fighting, and they're going to have to fight tonight to win.
And, Sal, I was going to ask you about Joe Judge. I mean, your opinion, your thoughts, and what other people think about the job that he's doing with the Giants. I know it's a small sample size, but the early reviews on Joe Judge.
I would say I trust my eyes and what I see on film and when I watch the game. I see a team that's fighting. I see a team that's together. I see the team that doesn't have enough talent yet to win, to sustain a winning formula. But I see a team that's responding to Joe Judge. And that's what I also see all the time here in Philadelphia and why I think Doug Peterson is so respected. The team fights for him. They're fighting with basically a decimated receiving core and offensive line, and they're within 2 points of winning the game against a very good Ravens team last week. They're fighting for Doug Peterson. And I wonder if you can say the same thing in Dallas. I don't see that a lot on film. You know, notwithstanding what may or may not have been said in the locker room, I'm not seeing it on film in Dallas as much as I'm seeing it in Washington, New York, and Philly at this point in the season.
Sal Powell with us here, 98.70 ESPN. So huge game, obviously, tonight, Sal. The Giants win this game if what? Give us the recipe to the Giants winning this game, making it 2 in a row, and possibly being at the top of this division.
Oh, it's off to the races, without a doubt. You know, it's off to the races. I think Judge was right last week. It was a collective rising. Did they get a little lucky? Sure. But, you know, winning in the NFL is execution, skill, talent, and luck, for sure. You got to have luck. And they got a little lucky last week. But that's also a byproduct of how hard they fought in the game, on the road, in the division. So you win back-to-back games on the road, in the division. For the Giants, I think it's off to the races for sure. I think they become a lot more competitive and confident.
Sal, last one for me, and I'm just going to ask you this Jets question because I'm sure you know Joe Douglas. Like, at what point does Joe Douglas, you think, decide that enough is enough with Adam Gase? Is the reason why Adam Gase is still a coach because of that relationship, or do you think that they're just going to let him ride this thing out?
I don't think it's his call. Do you?
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't think it's his call. I think it's an ownership call. Usually when the head coach is hired or fired, it's the ownership's call. And, you know, I've never been in the business of, conjecturing about when a coach should be fired. I just think that makes you a short-termer in this business. I just don't look at it that way. I just look at the results. And, you know, and the results are just not good. The quarterback is, again, when your quarterback is turning the ball over and there's no recipe to fix it, then that falls on the head coach. And that to me is the bottom line of why the Jets, are just not winning.
Sal, there were some reports that surfaced yesterday that, among other teams, the Seahawks were interested in Antonio Brown once he finishes serving his 8-game suspension. Do you think that we'll see Antonio Brown in the NFL at some point this year?
I do. Yes, I do. I think Antonio Brown is too talented, and obviously there is a downside because of the problems that he's had. They're all well documented. And, you know, even the problems he had in Pittsburgh in the locker room. All well documented. The Seahawks seem to do a pretty good job over the years of bringing in people and incorporating him into their culture. But, you know, I think it's, you know, I'll just say it. I think it's going to be Russell Wilson's call. He's got a very good wide receiving core. He's got great chemistry with them. He's playing MVP-type football. And I think Pete Carroll has got to walk into the locker room or invite Russell Wilson up to his office and say, do we want this guy on the team? Do you want this guy on the team? And I think that's where the call is going to be made.
Yeah, you're probably right. This is Russell Wilson's team, and it'll probably funnel through him. Sal, as always, terrific stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, because the records aren't great, but the meaning certainly is there. We appreciate a couple minutes.
Thank you so much.
All right, absolutely. That, of course, is Sal Pal. And like I said before, guys, like I don't ever remember a game where if the Giants lose, you're going to be like, my God, they have a real chance to win this division. If they win, you say they have a real chance to win this division. And if they lose, you'll say the odds are they're going to be picking third in the NFL draft. Like, that's the difference in this game tonight.
Yeah, that's how bad the division is.
Now, the question is, Dave, if you're picking third in the NFL draft, are you drafting a quarterback?
I don't know.
Because if your team is having that kind of a season, then I think it would be safe to assume that Daniel Jones didn't perform up to expectations this year. He didn't answer the question that we've all been waiting for him to answer.
I would think if you can get Fields or Lawrence, and they both have, you know, Fields, and we know Lawrence will, Fields has a terrific season,
that
you'd be hard-pressed not to take one of those two guys, wouldn't you?
I would agree with you, although I feel like the Trevor Lawrence ship has sailed just because the Giants have already won one game. I don't think the Jets are going to win any games.
Did you hear what Sal said, too, which again, drives me crazy? Hey, do you think Joe Douglas will make the decision to get rid of
it? No, it's not Joe Douglas' decision.
That's awesome. That's great.
Something about that has to change, though, doesn't it, Rico?
It has to.
Like,
if
you don't know football and you're hiring a general manager to kind of lead up your football operations, why wouldn't you rely on him as to when you would make that kind of a decision?
I think he would have to, but I think what screws this whole thing up is that it was Adam Gase who was the one that, you know, pushed Christopher Johnson to hire Joe Douglas. I mean, that was Joe Douglas's. I mean, that was who Adam Gase wanted.
No, I get it, but I mean, Joe Douglas, you know, he's trying to maintain his credibility. He's got a career to think about as well, and it's clear that Adam Gase hadn't done the job. He's not very good. The team is 0-6. So for all the talk that we had about the momentum in the second half that they were going to carry into 2020, I mean, that's non-existent. The team is not giving effort.
No, I'm not disagreeing with
you. And I know that's a hell of a statement, but that's true. That's what we're watching every single Sunday. So to me, even if Joe Douglas does owe his job to Adam Gase, it's clear that Adam Gase is not doing his. And so as a general manager, you got to move off of that in order to move the team forward.
Yeah, but maybe Joe Douglas can't do that.
Maybe he's not allowed.
Maybe he just doesn't feel comfortable doing that and just let this thing play out and be as bad as it's been, and then Chris Johnson will have no choice but to – or if it ends up being Woody coming back, we'll have no choice but to make a change. Because this is just bad. This is historically bad.
Historically bad, yeah.
Yes. We get the emails every day from the producers. I mean, you look at, what are they, minus 110 points?
Yes.
Minus 110, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on pace for minus 293.
I mean, those are not numbers you see.
No, the Bucks in 76 were minus
97. Who are an expansion team.
Yeah, we're minus 97 through 6.
They were minus 287 on the season.
The 2008 Lions were minus 90 through 6. 2017 Cleveland Browns, they were minus 63 through 6. And then there's your New York Jets, minus 110.
Yeah.
Who are 13.5-point underdogs this week and 22-point underdogs next week.
Like Gordon Damer said, the New York Jets in 2020, you got to see it to believe it.
The New York Jets
couldn't believe it. If somebody told you the Jets would be this bad before the season, nobody would believe it.
Well, we didn't think they would be. Remember in the offseason before they traded Jamal Adams, it was like, are they going to be a playoff team? Do you remember those
discussions? Yeah, we said that with seven teams making the playoffs in each conference that the Jets could be one of those wild card teams. We talked about that. We said this was the year that the Jets need to try to establish themselves as the second best team in this division. We said that. Those are things we said.
Yeah, the second C.J. Mosley opted out and you traded Jamal, that ship sailed. That ship sailed.
C.J. Mosley must be Nostradamus, man. He's like, you know what? You guys are not going to get me with that second half in 2019.
His own butter right
I'm
now,
not
yeah.
playing.
Salted butter, unsalted butter, margarine. He's got it all going on there now.
Well, that $10 million signing bonus, platinum butter.
100%.
All right, here you go, Rick. You ready?
Hold on. Yeah, okay, go.
It's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje coming this Saturday, October 24th. Special time, 2 p.m. ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Khabib, see, here's the problem. I have it down pat, and then when I actually do the full read, it looks like it's a foreign language to me.
It becomes a problem.
Khabib Nurmagomedov. I got it. Boom. Woo! Looks to add another victory to his
try
perfect.
Try it one more time.
Just Nurmagomedov.
There you go. All right, that's good.
All right, looks to add another victory to his perfect, unblemished 28-0 record when he defends his title against interim champ Justin Gaethje. UFC 254 exclusively available at ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99, or sign up now to get UFC 254 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $84.98. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. By the way, you completely made Sal uncomfortable when he was on the phone with us.
Why? I thought that was good. I mean, that's the
he didn't know what to say. He giggled strangely, and then he even said, he's like, I don't know what to say. I'm married 42 years, and I'd like to continue that moving along.
Oh, but he knows. You know, we've been married. You've been married. You know.
You made Sal very uncomfortable, Rico.
He did, right? You can tell.
You did.
No, I mean, Sal, who's...
That was an awkward moment.
He's a grizzled veteran of the media business. He's covered war. He's covered football. He's covered everything. And you managed to make him very uncomfortable.
As if his wife is listening to his appearance on our show.
Whatever the case may be, sometimes clearly he was not comfortable with that.
He wasn't comfortable
with what you did to him.
I love having Sal on the show.
He's terrific.
We need to have him on more often, man.
Terrific.
Love Sal.
Well, he's usually on with the Premature Pirates, but we stole him away today.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to steal him more often from those guys.
We could just make him a weekly.
I mean, it's the Premature Pirate. I mean, is on before us, and we got the Pirates after us. Yeah, Bart on before, and then you got Han and Bart on after.
Yep. Surrounded by pirates.
And apparently, Jay Will doesn't work anymore.
They're just taking everything from us.
Our ship is in trouble. Our gold is in serious trouble here. We need One-Eyed Willie. All right, quick break. Come back.
Easy.
How good is The Goonies, by the way? You've seen that movie, right?
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Was that a rhetorical question?
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Great movie.
It's an unbelievable movie.
Love that movie. You know
Sloth
who played...
Sloth Love Chunks.
You know who played Sloth?
Let me think about this. No.
John Matuszek.
Oh, really?
The old Raider. Yes.
That's well done.
See? This is what we get here.
See, I always wanted to do, like, for Halloween, like, I always wanted to hire somebody to get one of those kind of legitimate costumes like that. Like, I would love to show up at a costume party like Sloth.
Well, with the makeup terrifying. And the costume all done to the nines. Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Great.
One eye up high, the other eye down to your mouth.
That's an investment, though, Rico. Like, that's a lot of time that you got to put into putting that look together.
But he's a big Halloween guy.
I'm a big Super Bowl.
Yeah, you love Halloween.
Oh, my girl loves Halloween, too, man.
She saw me as gold member. Oh, tremendous. Actually, I had a golden member hanging out of my shorts.
Come on, man.
All right, so, CMT, you ready to go?
Oh, yeah, baby. Come on.
Oh, great. Terrific. Poor Sally's probably rolling over right now wherever he is.
He's probably telling that joke to his buddies.
Yeah. Listen to this, guys. You never believe it. On actual terrestrial radio, he said this.
See, that's what made him uncomfortable. That. Not that his wife was going to hear. That's what made him uncomfortable. He's not used to that.
No. Well, I don't think anyone is. Did you give me this promo here? Rick, is this your doing?
Me?
Yeah.
No, stop.
Today on ESPN Daily, UFC fighter Khabib Nurmagomedov is 28-0 inside the octagon. But can he stay undefeated? ESPN's Brett Okamoto previews Saturday's highly anticipated showdown between Gaethje and Nurmagomedov on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. You sure you didn't ask
no, wasn't me.
Hand to tuck that
I
one in
promise.
There?
I promise that was not me. Would never do that to you. Never.
Okay. All right. If you'd like to participate in CMT by throwing a trio at us, you can at Rothenberg ESPN if they're good. We'll get them on air, and I'll ask the fellas. But for now, Rick will take over a Thursday edition of CMT.
All right, here we go, fellas. And before I start CMT, because we had a very, very shortened observation yesterday, because Dave just does not like the segment.
Oh, yes.
He tries to eat into it as much as possible. I had one story from yesterday that I wanted to tell you, because I just think it's almost unbelievable when you tell it. But here it goes. I'll make it short. Did it happen in Florida? Airport authorities literally struck gold when they spotted a man walking oddly and discovered he had about 2 pounds of gold bullion shoved in his rectum.
Wait, where?
In his rectum.
Oh, God.
That's why he was walking weird.
I would think so.
Oh, my goodness.
I would think so. 2 pounds?
2 pounds.
Mm-hmm. No. There's no. Is there more to the story, or that's it?
No, that's it. He was walking.
Does there have to be more to that story?
No, but no. I didn't know if he had like any like a tip or any like there. No, there's no way. There's no way that's Florida, and I'm going to go one further. That is not in the United States of America.
Interesting. How oddly must you be walking?
Right? I mean, you see older people who can barely walk all the time and nobody thinks to stop. Like, this guy must have been like decrepit. He must have been like the elephant man walking. Don't you think?
I mean, that 2 pounds, like, how does that not just fall right out?
Yeah. That's some strong cheeks.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on that one. That's not Florida.
Santi, Florida.
I have nothing to say whether Florida. I just, how? That's it. How?
Well, what's your answer? No, don't stand behind the how. Is it Florida or not?
Not Florida.
Okay.
Not Florida. You guys are correct. That's not in this country.
That
was a passenger that had arrived from Dubai, and apparently he was trying to avoid paying an 18% tax on his gold. So he decided to go hide it somewhere.
That makes all sense in the world.
Another passenger on the same flight was caught carrying more than 3 pounds of gold, though officials did not disclose if the traveler had concealed that gold in the same way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Completely different definition of mining for gold. All right, here we go, boys. CMT.
Here we go.
Week 7 edition. Best quarterback matchup of Week 7. Mm-hmm. We got Aaron Rodgers in Houston against Deshaun Watson. I got Mr. Unlimited going up against Kyler Murray in Arizona. And then I got Baker Mayfield headed into Cincinnati against Joe Burrow. Best QB matchup.
All right. Well, for me, it's obvious which one I'm trashing. Say mm-hmm. goodbye to Baker and Burrow.
There you go.
Goodbye. You know, this is easy across the board. I will cuddle Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray.
Bombs and hellacious.
Mr.
And
Unlimited.
I will cuddle Mr. Unlimited, and I will marry Aaron and Deshaun.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Dave across the board on that one. And the two quarterbacks in the couple that we're going to marry, I mean, at their best, they're both top 5 quarterbacks. So I think that's an obvious one.
All right, here we go. Question number 2. We'll start with you, Canty. The most interesting matchup of Week 7. I got Teddy Bridgewater going up against his old team in New Orleans. I got Jimmy, I love porn stars Garoppolo, headed into New England. And I got John Gruden going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Most interesting matchup.
I'm going to marry John Gruden.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, just because I don't know what this Vegas Raiders team is. And I want to see more from them, and I know that Tampa Bay is kind of coming into their own. So I think that this game will really tell me a lot about the Raiders and what I can expect from them as we get to the second half of the season. I am going to cuddle Jimmy Garoppolo going into New England,
bombs
just because for both sides, this is a big game. Like, the Patriots are not used to being under 500 at this point in the season, and, you know, words are already out on the street that Kyle Shanahan is looking to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think both need to have a big day. So I'm interested to see that. So I'll cuddle that one, and I'll trash Teddy Bridgewater going down to New Orleans. I don't think there's a lot of sizzle from that one.
I'd like to spend minutes and almost filibuster the answer, but there's no reason to. I agree completely across the board.
You guys are ruining this game for me. All right, here we go.
No,
next one.
What do we want
agree,
us to do?
We'll start with you, Dave.
I'm not going to lie.
Do what Sherry does. Fake it for a second. Disagree for no reason. Just disagree to disagree. That's what sports talk radio is supposed to be. Oh, I concur. Let's just move this along.
So well, you know what? Maybe ask some questions with a little more spice and sizzle.
Yeah, well, every single week you got to be doing it twice a week. Now we're going to come with 15 questions a day.
Is it too much for you? I thought you were capable.
Never. Never too much.
All right.
Most likely to be undefeated after Week 7. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, or Seattle?
Seattle is playing Arizona, right?
Correct. Mr. Unlimited against Kyler.
Yeah. I'm going, boy, that's good. Where's that game?
In Arizona.
It's in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then you got Pittsburgh at Tennessee.
Yeah, no, that I know. Boy, I got to tell you, I love Pittsburgh.
You
I
love
think they're
Pittsburgh.
Terrific. I think you could argue they're the best team in the NFL right now. I'm going to marry Pittsburgh.
If it was acceptable, I would marry
them. Let's
take
some that
different
down, Canty. Canty, let's take that down. Dave, mm-hmm. Dave will be taking Pittsburgh tomorrow in the picks, clearly.
Yep.
So I'll marry Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's a 1-point spread. So that's you're looking ahead very well. I'm going to I'm going to cuddle with Seattle and Mr. Unlimited.
Bombs and hellacious.
And if I'm marrying Pittsburgh, well, you're correct. I'm trashing Tennessee. So I will move on from Mike Vrabel and the Ohio State sack leader of all time, his Titans. Trash him.
I want to disagree with Rothenberg, Rico, but I can't, man. I can't. I mean, Pittsburgh is a lot better than I thought they would be just because I think their quarterback is a lot better than I thought they'd be. And I'm not saying that Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw for 5,000 yards, but he's going to play within himself, and he's always going to put his offense in position to score points. And that Tennessee defense is shaky, man. I don't trust that group. So, yeah, I'm going to marry Pittsburgh. I'm going to cuddle Seattle. And I'm going to trash the Titans.
So Kansas going to take Pittsburgh tomorrow, too. All right, here we go.
No. I'm not doing that.
Landing spots for one Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Seahawks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or the Baltimore Ravens?
All right, Kent, you're up.
I'm going to marry Seattle, man. I mean, Russell Wilson has already put videos out there where he's throwing with Antonio Brown. So I'm going to marry that one. I'm going to trash the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just because even though Tom Brady might want him, Bruce Arians, who spent time with AB in Pittsburgh, don't want him. So I have no doubt that he's not going to be on that team at all. So I'm going to trash that one. And what was the other one?
Baltimore.
Yeah, I'll cuddle that one. I mean, his cousin's Hollywood Brown. He's had throwing sessions with Lamar Jackson, so I'll cuddle that one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree across the board. He will wind up with Seattle, I think, is the marriage there. Baltimore, a slimmer opportunity, but a possibility, and there is no chance of Tampa. So, listen, I agree. If you're going to give us layups like this, you're going to get the same answers from both of us.
Layups. All right, here we go. Last one. Bounce back performance. Green Bay bouncing back after getting their teeth kicked in. Cleveland bouncing back at Cincinnati after getting their teeth kicked in. Or New England bouncing back against San Francisco after they lost to Denver.
Cleveland has what? Cincinnati?
At Cincinnati. Green Bay has Houston.
Houston. Yeah. I will say I'm going to trash New England. They were awful last week. I thought they looked terrible. Even to try to get themselves back in the game, they're running all these trick plays against Denver. And Denver tried to give the game away. So I will trash Cleveland. I don't think that's going to New England. I don't think that's going to be a big bounce back from them. I'll cuddle Cleveland.
You got to
beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati clearly on the upswing, but you're Cleveland. You want to go to the postseason. You're 4-2. You need to win that game. And I'll marry Aaron Rodgers.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
As you said yesterday, a blip. I mean, it was a perfect storm. He got picked off almost for two pick sixes. It never happens. They'll win. I think probably comfortably. I'll marry Green Bay.
Okay, very interesting from one Dave Rothenberg. There's something going on in Cleveland. I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels like that team doesn't believe in their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, and Cincinnati has a lot more fight than people want to give them credit for. So I'm going to trash the Browns bouncing back. I'm going to trash it.
They only beat Cincy by 5 points, Dave, in Cleveland.
I know. It was a Thursday night game, I remember.
I'm going to trash that one.
And Burrow is terrific.
Yeah. I'm going to marry the Patriots.
If it was socially acceptable,
bouncing back in a big way against San Francisco.
Canty's taking the Patriots tomorrow.
You might be right, Rico. You might be right. Just because, when's the last time we saw Bill Belichick lose back-to-back home games in October?
Yeah. When was the last time we saw you and RJ get the games right? So now you're going to change my pick.
Last year, yeah.
Well, okay, whatever. All right.
Because I like the Patriots too.
I like the Patriots, so I'm going to marry them, and I am going to cuddle the Packers. I think what happened in Tampa was a bump in the road. I don't think this is revealing any real character flaws, but the one thing I will say is this Texans team is playing a lot better once they fire Bill O'Brien. So I think that's going to be a competitive game, but I think the Packers have the edge. So I'll cuddle that.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Thursday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Beautiful. Well done. You did that so you could kind of gauge our picks for tomorrow as well.
He's not sneaky, Dave.
Yeah.
He's not.
There may be some ulterior motives.
There were.
Baked in. How about this, though? Can we make a promise that once we end up back in studio together, I was listening to the Kay Show yesterday, and Kay swears that the single best fast food item is the classic chicken sandwich from Burger King.
Okay.
So I think at some point, we need to, in the studio, we need to blind taste test everything. Like, we'll get in all the Burger King We'll get into Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I was about to ask you about that. Like, I want to ask Kay a serious question. Like, has he tried the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
He said that it's better than he insinuated that he tried Popeye's and it's better than Popeye's.
I find that hard to believe.
I'm with Dave on that one.
I want a blind taste test. And I want to get every chicken sandwich in the studio, and then we vote which one is our favorite.
That'd be fun. Let's do it.
I think we should do it.
We should do it. Now, there's one CMT which has been tweeted into me at Rothenberg ESPN, which is going to make you choose guests. Do you want it, or do you want to stay away from that?
No, I want to dive right into it.
All right. CMT, Feinbaum, Mike Tenenbaum, Sal Pal.
I'm going to marry Feinbaum, I'm going to cuddle Mike Tenenbaum, and then I'm going to trash Sal.
You trashing Sal?
What?
Wow.
Well, Sal's not our natural. I mean, Sal's not a full-time guest.
That's
we stole him from the
Peter Joe
Pirates. Yeah, we pirated him.
I feel like we got to find a way to put Sal in the rotation, man.
Go ahead. So where are you going here, Canty?
This is the problem, though.
You put me in a tough spot.
Because Winthrop
I didn't want to. He said do it.
Winthrop is the assistant program director, and he's the producer of the Pirates.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to marry Sal Pal. I'm going to cuddle Tenenbaum. And I'm going to trash Feinbaum just because I don't think Paul actually cares whether or not
that.
We like him as
a
coach.
We're going to need that. Santi, we're going to need that for tomorrow, please.
For tomorrow, 10:30.
Get that
and ready to go. All right, quick break. When we return, little baseball.
You're not going to have to play it for him. You know he already heard it with those satellite dishes attached to his head.
He's furious right now. I want to remind you. Now listen closely. You can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. So, of course, Bart and Hahn follow us. Then it's Greeny. Then it's Max. Then it's the Michael Kay Show into Carlin. And then Larry Hardesty. Now, Rick, you don't have a dog in the fight here. What do you think? Giants or Eagles tonight?
I would probably say the Eagles. I hate to even say that. Sal laid it out. You haven't won in Philly since Coughlin.
Ugh.
Get Sean Jackson back.
That just means we're due, Rico. We're due. That's all it means.
It would be a huge win, especially for your coach, man.
It would be a tremendous win. If the Giants win this game, I think we start the show tomorrow and people are really excited. Really excited. If the Giants are, and which is amazing, 2-5, top of the division, you have a tremendous amount of excitement with Giants fans.
You know the crazy thing, Dave? If I wasn't a man of principle and already said I was jumping off of the Giants bandwagon, I would take the Giants plus the 4.5 tonight.
I don't know that I'd let you.
You wouldn't let me?
Because
I've been terrible with picks?
No. Because I try to save you from you. Because the crux of it, guys, is, and Chris, they're bad. The Giants, even though they won, they're a bad team. So you really, we're getting swept up in the emotion of it's a big game. It's a big game.
You're right. You're right.
5.
You're right. I'm staying away from the game.
It's a big game is because the other teams in this division stink. If this was a normal division, this wouldn't be an important football game. Now it is, but it wouldn't be.
No, you're right. You're right. And you got to trust your eyes. And your eyes have told you that the Eagles are a more talented team and they're going to be more competitive this year than the Giants.
Now that
I don't understand what we're doing here. I don't understand why you're talking about taking picks.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're like one of the sharks at the aquarium. You had to swim with the sharks, like the docile.
He's 0-6 with his picks against RJ. Can I help him a little bit?
No.
Not
let the guy be fired up. He's trying to get into the game tonight. He wants some skin in the game tonight.
I'm going to watch the game tonight. I'll be into it. Rico, I'm sick of the Giants losing to the Eagles. I'm tired of it.
We'll see if that changes tonight.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.